You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Kate Wolf, in for Vicky Gonzalez. For years, California has struggled with getting people who have mental illness and substance addiction into treatment. Often, these people end up on the street and enter into cycles of homelessness, with their families powerless to help. In late 2023, seven California counties were selected to pilot a new program that would enable families and providers to intervene earlier, called the Care Court Plan. One of those early launching sites is Stanislaus County. Now, more than 6 months after the launch, how has the court been operating, and how many people have been referred for service? Marijke Rowland is the senior health equity reporter for the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, a nonprofit local news site which publishes the Merced Focus and partners with CAP Radio. She joins us now to share more about her reporting in Stanislaus County. Welcome, Marijke.
Thank you, Kate. Thanks for having me today.
Before we get into your reporting, let's start off by talking about the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, which might be new to a lot of listeners. What is this organization?
So we're a new local news organization. We're dedicated to covering the San Joaquin Valley. We both fund our own news site and newsroom, the Merced Focus, and we also fund and partner with other news organizations across the region. And I am part of the Health Equity Lab, which covers San Joaquin and Stanislaus counties, and the rest of our small reporting staff covers Merced.
And to turn to your reporting, can you tell us what Care Court is and how it works?
So Care Court, as you mentioned, is a new program created by the CARE Act, the Community Assistance Recovery and Empowerment Act. Everyone loves an acronym. It is a pathway to get people with untreated schizophrenic diagnoses into county care. That's either treatment and housing and all of that. And it launched in seven pilot counties, Stanislaus being one of them.
And it's not just schizophrenia, it's other psychotic disorders as well?
There are some, but it's a very limited range of mental health disorders. So depression, anxiety, bipolar disorder, that does not qualify you for Care Court, only things on the schizophrenic spectrum.
Okay. And I know this is for both people who are housed and unhoused. And families can file petitions. What is the process once a petition has been filed?
So a petition can be filed by a variety of people. You mentioned families, law enforcement, people in behavioral health, even a roommate. Once a petition is filed, first a judge who's overseeing Care Court in that county will determine if the person is eligible. And you know, there's a pretty high bar because of the need for the schizophrenic diagnosis. And after that, then someone from behavioral health in that county will reach out to that person, they call them the respondent, and then start to see if they are interested in care, or interested in treatment, need housing, things like that.
And right now, there's a couple counties that are piloting the Care Court system. When did it start, and why was Stanislaus chosen?
So, yeah, we are one of seven. It started in October of 23. So at the end of April, all of these counties, seven counties, have had about 6 months of practice. As you can see from the other counties, it's us, Stanislaus, Glen, Tuolumne, San Francisco, Orange, Riverside, and San Diego. So they wanted a variety of counties, large counties, small counties, rural counties, different demographics and that. And because Stanislaus County also had supervisors who were very supportive of the program, it was selected as one of the pilot programs.
So supervisors were gung-ho to get
yes.
this going. Yeah. So how many people are now staffing the Care Court there, and how often does it meet?
So Care Court is staffed by 15 people, largely added to the behavioral health services in the county. They were going to initially meet twice a week. Now they meet once a week. It's the judge, a public defender, and someone with a treatment plan. They go over their existing cases and any new cases.
How many petitions have been filed so far in Stanislaus County in the first 6 months of Care Court?
So in the first 6 months, we've had 36 petitions filed. Of those, 10 were dismissed as not eligible. 12 are in voluntary agreements, which means when behavioral health reached out to them, the people said, yes, I would like some services or treatment. One is in a court-ordered plan, and then there are 13 in early stages who have not made it into either any of that yet.
So the court-ordered plan is they reached out to the respondent. They said, I don't want to do this. I'm not voluntarily signing up for it. But the court said, no, you have to. And so created this plan for it. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's sort of the major step that makes Care Court different, is because there can be a judge will look over the petition, decide if that person needs a court more, you know, a court monitored plan. The respondent also gets a public defender who sort of defends them. So they're that's the actual court process.
So 36 petitions in the first 6 months, 10 dismissed, 12 are voluntary, one is court ordered, right? That's where the care court piece comes in. How does this number of petitions in Stanislaus County compare to the expectations and projections made before care court was implemented?
So before care court was implemented, there was a projection of about 100 petitions in the first year, and we are sort of trending below that, obviously. That's something that anecdotally I've seen across the other pilot counties as well. I believe San Diego County thought they would have 1,000 in the first year, and they've had 70 in the first 3 months.
Wow. And do you know why there's this slow uptake, right? It's a new program, but how does Stanislaus County compare to other pilot areas?
I think they're all trending a little slow. Obviously, it's a brand new program. People have to get familiar with what care court is in the first place, who can be eligible. I think it also is a program that only applies to a very slim sliver of the population, even the unhoused population. So it's not like there was a flood of need. It's that this is a very specific population that they're targeting.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Marijke Rowland from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative about the state's care court system, which is being piloted in Stanislaus County, among other counties. So where are most of the petitions coming from? You mentioned that family can submit them, even roommates can submit them, but where are most of them coming from?
Most of them, over 50% in Stanislaus County, are coming from behavioral health services. So these are people on staff who already are aware of these people in the population, and they're not currently receiving any kind of treatment. The second largest amount of referrals are from law enforcement. So that would indicate that a lot of these people are already on the radar of officials in the various counties, and this is another pathway to get them help.
Have you been able to find out more info about who's getting referred to care court or how that process is actually playing out?
Unfortunately, because it's a completely confidential court proceeding, we haven't been able to get a lot of information about who is in care court currently. We don't have any demographic information. We don't, have sex, gender, anything like that. We just know that that's 36 petitions right now.
Okay. And what have local reactions been to this new court?
I think because, again, it's a new program, there hasn't been a lot of public discussion around it yet. I think people are starting to realize what it is because it hasn't rolled out in the rest of the state yet either. You know, Stanislaus County is sort of a test. So I think people are becoming aware of it right now.
Okay. And what were arguments against care court's creation? Because I know there was a lot of back and forth when it came to actually implementing this.
So part of it was that this does cover such a small sliver of the population. So it's a new civil judicial division they've created for a very small sliver of people who might be eligible. Some of the other concerns were because of some possible racial biases moving forward. You know, there's a lot of misdiagnosis within some communities of color, and they were worried that people would be certain populations would be overrepresented in care court.
Right. And I know that there was a kind of a rehashing of this when it came to Prop 1 and kind of figuring out funding for Prop 1, because people had some of the same concerns about some of the funding going towards involuntary commitment, which, of course, care court also can involuntarily put people in treatment.
Yeah, sort of the end phase of care court. If someone goes through the program and is unsuccessful, they can be referred to conservatorship. So there's a lot of mental health policy in the last couple of years that have passed that are specifically designed to address homelessness by changing some of the definitions and expanding who can be, conserved and other things. So there's going to be a lot of changes within mental health policy in the state that we're going to see rolling out.
And when does the rest of the state begin the care court program?
So the rest of the state's going to start December of this year. So most counties should already be working on it. They're staffing up their own care courts as well. And they will start this process where people from the public and others can start petitioning the court.
And do we know anything about the preparedness of other counties to put care court into effect?
I didn't get into that as much in my reporting, but, you know, I know other counties are in the process of hiring. I've seen job hiring announcements. You know, they've got basically 6 months to get their own show up and running. So we'll see how the rest, the other 50 counties across the state do getting it all up and running by December.
And we referred to Prop 1, but how is Care Court connected to other mental health related police changes that are aimed at curbing homelessness?
So Care Court is part of this package of changes included as the recently passed Prop 1 and SB 43, which is a really big one, which changes, expands conservatorship in the state, basically. So working in concert, I think all of these different policy changes could have a significant impact on mental health policy, particularly if they're unhoused people with mental health conditions. The biggest one, I think, coming up still for people is SB 43, which a lot of people don't know about, but will make a huge difference in who can be involuntarily treated, housed, all of this. It changes the definition of gravely disabled and now will include a standalone substance abuse disorders, whereas before there needed to be a joining mental health diagnosis. It also expands what kind of, if you have a mental health disorder, that you can be put into conservatorship for additional reasons.
I understand. So Prop 1, as that goes into effect, SB 43, as that goes into effect, we're going to see a shift towards some bigger changes in how we're dealing with mental health.
Basically, it's giving officials more leeway to ultimately involuntarily treat and house people.
And what are you looking for as the Care Court pilot program continues and other counties in California start to roll it out?
I think it'll be interesting to see how much outside of, you know, official referrals, how much the public embraces this as well. You know, families are a big part of who can refer. As I mentioned, roommates can refer. Other people outside of the system can refer. So if it becomes embraced, I think, by people outside of the system, that might be an indication that it's something that's needed and people have been waiting for.
And what might someone who has a family member or has a roommate that they're really concerned about, you know, what's the process of filing a petition and what would that look like?
So you go, each county, once they're set up, is going to have a portal where people will get the documentation that they have to fill out to file the initial petition. You know, it's paperwork, basically. You have to say, you know, this person, the reasons, and then file it to the judge. And then the judge makes that first initial determination whether that person is eligible or not.
Okay. And do you think these courts and other programs will, you know, you mentioned Prop 1, SB 43, will end up making a significant impact in helping to address both mental health and homelessness in the state?
I mean, it's an interesting question. So much of the policy right now is focused on mental health and sort of has tied mental health and homelessness together. I mean, there are, of course, mental health issues within the unhoused population, but I think a lot of people realize the biggest driver of homelessness in California is the affordable housing crisis. So it's addressing, I think, the people in the most need, but maybe not the most people who are unhoused.
And, you know, I think about when we think about conservatorship, maybe when people have heard about that, they think about Britney Spears, which is the kind of the number one you know, case that people might have heard about. Is there any concern about misuse of these petitions, a la Britney Spears and her conservatorship?
That's one of the big concerns, especially for critics of these various changes to mental health policy, is that it's taking away people's civil liberties. You know, it'll force people into care. You know, forced care often doesn't have as good outcomes as voluntary care. So there is a lot of concern, especially within the mental health community, that these new changes will force more people into things that they do not want.
And you mentioned these projections that are kind of out of step with what's actually come about. Do we know what they based these projections on of these kind of higher numbers? About 100 in Stanislaus County was estimated. Instead, it's been about 36. Do we know what those were based on?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I didn't get into that with my reporting, but I You know, I know that they did bring several stakeholders to the table before creating this, and I'm sure they've worked with some behavioral health departments in various counties to come at those numbers. But I don't know. We'll have to wait until the 6 months to see if they actually bear out. But right now, everything is trending more slowly.
And I know that for many people who want mental health treatment or substance use treatment, or for family members who want their loved one to get that treatment, often it comes only when they're arrested or only when they are in the emergency department and kind of languishing in one of those beds. So do you think that this is a positive alternative to that dead-end system?
I think it definitely does give another pathway to hopefully that person receiving care if they truly need it. The question is whether there's enough people who qualify for that to make any kind of difference. But for the people who are helped, that's great.
And have you been able to talk to anyone who, you know, has been affected by this or who's interested in participating in this?
Unfortunately, again, because it's such a confidential process, it's been very hard to access families, and also because of the small number of people who have gone through it so far already. So hopefully as, you know, as the pilots continue and as it rolls out through the rest of the state, we'll be able to actually talk with more of the people being impacted by it directly and get those stories, because that's really what's going to ultimately tell us whether Care Accord is a success or not.
And do you know what outreach is happening to families? Is Care Accord trying to reach families so that they can file petitions? Or I guess, how will the general public be able to find out about this?
I think they are trying to do some awareness programs. I know that in my reporting and speaking with them, they've talked with specific groups of families, people who are maybe already in the system, but they probably does need to be a larger awareness campaign about what this is, who is eligible, and also to set expectations, because people think this is going to maybe solve their problem, whereas it really does only pertain to a smaller percentage of the population.
Well, Marijke, I know you'll be looking into this. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me on today.
Marijke Rowland is the Senior Health Equity Reporter for the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. We've been talking about the Care Accord pilot program, which is currently underway in Stanislaus County. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Kate Wolf. We're back in just a moment.